the plan checks for those construction drawings is about $77,000. The plan check revenue is a different account number than the account number for building permits. The Monte Vista Estates, Century Builders, as you know, there was quite a time there when there was no activity at all because of the economy and whatnot. So those, so there are 20 remaining lots, and all those permits have been reissued, and there are 13 homes under various stages of construction. For the Joe Serna, there are currently two homes under construction, and after those are finaled, that will complete the original 47 lot development. There is a flood or a stormwater retention basin there. Work is in progress to fill that basin, so there will be an additional five lots here relatively soon. And at that point, then we can determine who is going to be the builder for those additional five lots. The Stormax mini storage is essentially complete, but it hasn't been final yet or substantially complete. It's a 100 unit storage facility with an on-site manager's unit dwelling, and the landscaping is looks like it's complete now, and that developed part of the planning process to approve that project. The city required that he install 135 feet of new sidewalk, which is complete, and also a corner pedestrian ramp has been installed. And in your packet there, there's an aerial of the property development activity that's going on. And all of those projects have been approved, except Dollar General, and I'll get into that in a minute. So anyway, so AutoZone, which is on that aerial, has submitted their construction drawings for the building. They've gone through the first plan check review, and there are some corrections that they need to make to comply with the building codes and ADA. So once they make conform to the ADA requirements and the California Energy Code compliance, it doesn't seem like those are major issues. We get those approved, and then we can issue them a permit. So hopefully that will be happening here pretty soon. The O'Reilly's Auto Parts store, which is going to be, and that's on the aerial there too, which is going to be adjacent to the AC Market. The ball is in their court. I spoke with them about 2 weeks ago and asked them about, you know, when are they going to submit their building plans, and the person told me that they're finalizing the building construction drawings. So hopefully here, it's always hard to say, but maybe within the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll have those plans and we can get them into a plan check immediately and keep the progress rolling for O'Reilly's.
Ray, I'm looking here at the map for the O'Reilly's.
Uh-huh.
I can see right here, according to this sketch here, on these boundaries, that it has that it's taking up some of the parking lot from AC Market.
Yeah, actually, what that is, that what is that 11th Street? That 11th Street used to go all the way through.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so way back when, I don't know, this was like 15, 20 years ago, that property was divided. Those two properties were like divided in half. Okay, so this represents that. Half of that street is O'Reilly's property. Half of that street is the market there. So that's why, that's a good question.
That's just the parcel, not the way it
yeah.
turned out.
So that's why that is.
It's owned by one owner,
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, the road was, the right away was.
Yeah, I was on console when we did that, for the AC Market.
So anyway, there's no street there anymore.
But yeah. the AC is are the ones that that sold the property, right?
The Jones.
Yes, the Jones.
Right,
yes.
Yeah.
And I believe that that property was probably dedicated or dedicated to the Jones.
Yeah.
Jones by
right.
the city council.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, Dollar Tree, kind of the same situation with Dollar Tree. The last I heard was is that they had their building plans ready to go, but they decided to make some modifications to the building. So when they get those done, we'll get those in here, and we'll get those off to the plan checker as well. The Amaya Village Apartments. The building department recently completed the California Tax Credit Allocation Committee zoning, impact fee, land use clearance, and grocery store location letters for the developer so he can submit those to the state to apply for the tax credits to build the 37-unit apartments there. So the ball is in that developer's hands to take care of that.
What is that grocery store location? What is that?
I believe that in order to get this tax credit, there has to be a grocery store, and I don't remember the number, within 500 feet I forget what the number is.
Okay.
And it is.
Okay.
So that letter, so the building department had to verify that is the case.
Good.
And council, just to add something to that, Ray, for that Amaya Village, we are working with the owners of the development, with our consultant as well, looking at the sustainable communities, where there could be some grant opportunities to add to that, so
okay.
it really strengthens the application for tax credits, so they can get some grants in partnership with the city through the sustainable communities, and that's something we're looking at now, because the application is going to be. They haven't given out the NOFA yet on for this next year, but we're waiting for that. So then we'll come to the council and ask the council to allow us to apply for a grant potentially to help with that project. So we might be able to get some more street improvements or something out of that out of the grant program.
Great.
The next item on that aerial map there, you'll also see a Dollar General. This project is still in the planning stage. The other ones, they've been approved. And with the city manager, myself, and the city engineer met with the Family Dollar people.
Dollar General.
Last week, and they to discuss the site plan review process and parcel map details, and in general, just the plan review application process. We also talked about some of the engineering things that they need to consider as far as water and sewer and things like that. They appear very, very interested, and I don't want to say it's a for sure thing because it's not, but they very much want to come here. And then there's another.
Do they know that Dollar Tree's coming too?
Yes.
Oh yeah, they know. They know.
Come on, come
into
the fight.
How about O'Reilly's?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I told the guy we have AutoZone. It's okay.
And see, one of the things to consider. I know we've talked about it. The mayor and I talked about this. For like, we have Family Dollar now.
Yeah.
Dollar Tree's coming in.
Yeah.
Dollar Tree is the parent company to Family Dollar, so they know the numbers that Family Dollar's producing. So that's what they notice the market for them, because they're an actual dollar store.
Yeah.
Same thing with Dollar General.
Yeah.
Those three stores compete with Walmart's, right? Because they produce, you know, a cheaper version, and so they still have name products in their businesses. So now, hopefully, that reduces our leakage that we get, you know, for people going to Walmart. Not because go, well, I'll go to Family Dollar, I'll go to Dollar General, and then Dollar Tree to get all my stuff. Because some of those stores do have groceries, and they can get them at a really low cost. So that's tax dollars that we're no longer going to be losing and keeping in our community.
Well, yeah, our store here is doing great, man.
Yeah, they do like $175,000 to $200,000 a month. Yeah.
Oh, I know the manager told me that they make more business than the Reading I knew by the Rossi stores.
Yeah.
And most of the valley.
I mean,
they
got three, they got one, two, three registers in their lines.
Because Esther Cuevas from EDC, she's worked with the Family Dollar and tried to locate them in all the cities.
Great.
And she's spoken to their main rep and said, Yeah, Orange Cove is one of the best stores that they have in the valley.
Wow, I believe it.
Yeah, I believe the Family Dollar is right. Yeah, Dollar General is mostly like a kind of like a mini grocery store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're the direct competition to Family Dollar.
Right, it's a dollar, huh?
Yeah. On the behind that aerial map, I want if you can take a look at this. This is an entitlement fee chart, and the building department uses this chart because it's a list of all of the fees that are going to need to be paid by the developer. And it's also a good thing for the building department because there's a lot of fees, and this helps us keep track of to make sure that we get all our fees. This chart was made for Dollar General, and they're going to use it as a part of their feasibility study to see what the entitlement fees are for their feasibility study.
Because originally their feasibility study showed the highest promise is here, Center and Park. So, you know, they're trying to figure out if, you know, they even offered to buy our property on Railroad, which the city owns, for our future City Hall and Police Department. I said, no. They said, well, we'll buy that from you guys, and you guys can buy another property and then build this, you know, City Hall. But that's the prime property there for Center location for our Police Department and City Hall. But they were, you know, even offering, you know, let's negotiate on your deal, you know, your property.
Wow.
Just because the center of this town was, you know, what made it more profitable for them.
Okay, Ray.
So anyway, this is this chart is very helpful not only to the developer but also for the building department's planning department. Okay. Oh, the water energy grant fixture rebate program. It's the building department that provided the direct project administration and management for this program. And that includes the fixture rebate application verification. It includes issuing the building permits. It includes the inspections. And also very important to realize is that it also includes the financial journal log entries with the supporting documents that we use to build the Department of Water Resources so we can get our money back after we've paid out the rebates. So there's other documentation that is also required when we build the state. And there's a fold-out chart here as an example of what we're doing. This is an example, and this was for the period of from April through June 2016. So this is for that period. These were all of the homes that were approved for the fixture rebate program. And there's a list across the page of the items that we need to keep track of for our billing to the state. So for instance, that top line there, we also need to provide the documentation to support these journal entries. So behind that fold-out page is what the state requires that we provide to them. So in the back there's four pages, and that's the documentation that we need to keep track of and to maintain, so at the end of the period we'll have all our ducks in order, so to speak, so when we bill the state we can get our money back. So the administrative aspects of this program are there's quite a bit to it. It's more than just going out and doing the inspections and issuing the building permits. So I just wanted the council to be aware that there's a fair amount of work with the administrative part of this. So anyway, I think my number is a little more up to date than Gary's maybe, but to date there has been 65 owner-occupied single-family homes that have received rebate checks, and that amounts to 113 toilets, 105 shower heads, and 114 bathroom faucets. And that information is, a lot of that, some of that, or that information is taken from these financial journal entries.
And the time spent on the fixture program, our building official, along with other staff that are tied directly to the program when they're helping out, we get reimbursed from the state on that stuff. So that's part of our, that's, so Ray's developed a really good time management, I guess you would say, of the fixture program, so it allows us to really put what we're doing there and getting reimbursed every quarter we submit for reimbursement.
Great.
And I would also like to thank council, because I do have a helper that helps me, and it is greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
And she does a fantastic job, and it enables not only, it just enables me to be able to do other things instead of just spending all of my time on this.
Administration.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say to Mr. Ray that as a mayor of the city, I really appreciate you coming before the council to enlighten us and inform us. It's amazing what you're doing, you know?
Well, thank you.
And it's great to hear from you and have it in writing. And I think Sam's doing a great job working with Ray. You know, Ray's always on the go. I come looking for him, he's out there checking or doing whatever he's doing. He's out there working.
Well, thank you.
But I really appreciate it very much, Ray.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, the young lady that helps him, you know, the council really appreciates the young lady.
She's really, really sharp.
Helping Sam, yes. You know, they get along great.
Yeah.
But Ray gets falls in love with everybody. He fell in love with Clarita, starts crying. He made me cry. Are you going to cry when I leave? When I leave, you're going to cry.
Well, I might leave before you do. I don't know.
No, but the council really appreciate it very much. Excellent report.
Okay.
Excellent report.
Okay, one other thing, just quickly, and this is just for informational and just to let you know about code enforcement. And this has to do with the cost recovery for the abatement and the administrative expense that the city uses to do this public nuisance code enforcement. We have a new code enforcement permit software now. So this first page here is called Statement of Expenses. And behind that is a case journal summary that the software prints out, and it shows all of the inspection activity and everything that the code enforcement does is printed on this journal, and it keeps track of the expense that it's costing the city.
Wow.
So for this example, last year there was a property that never cleaned up their weeds, and towards the beginning of the summer it became a very dangerous situation, because if somebody just flicked a cigarette there or whatever, boom, that property is on fire and there's a house very close to it, and it's
dangerous.
It's not a good situation. Yeah. So anyway, for this particular property owner, I did the inspections, I sent him a notice and order to correct the violations in 15 days. He never did anything. He was legally served. I have the return receipt requested with his signature on it. He did nothing. Immediately after 15 days, I sent him a citation, $100 per citation. I think there's three citations that he was in violation of, or three. There was three violations present at his property. So that first citation was for $300.
Yeah.
He did nothing. He was legally served. I got the return receipt card back, signature showing that he got the citation. Mm-hmm. I did a second citation.
Wow.
The second citation was for $750.
Yeah.
Did a third citation, $1,500. Nothing.
Jeez.
So it finally got, and he never did anything. So it finally got to the point, because of the dangerous conditions there, that I felt it was necessary that the city go in there and do an administrative abatement.
Yeah.
And we did.
Wow.
So this journal summary notes all of that stuff. So after we did the abatement, you know, I follow our code enforcement ordinances. And since he did not appeal these orders become final.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
He didn't appeal them. He has these due process rights, and he did not appeal it, and that appeal is stated in the citations and the notice and order. So the next step then, in order for us to recoup those costs, which are $3,000 and some odd here, $3,200, we send them a statement of expenses. And this here lists those expenses, and they're backed up by this summary journal. So, and in this one here, he has, I believe he has 30 days to pay this up. If he doesn't, then there are a couple options that the city has to try to get our money back. And one of them is we can send our expenses to a collection agency and let the collection agency try to collect this $3,200. That's one option. Another option is to put a lien on the property. To put a lien on the property requires that we have a public hearing, which is essentially like a little Orange Cove administrative court, would mean that we'd have an administrative judge or officer to hear the case. We notify the property owner that we are going to hold this. We're going to hold this case before this administrative judge for $3,200. And if that hearing did take place, the only thing that the property owner can contest is the amount of these fees. So that's one option that we could, if the city wanted to get involved with that. That would mean, you know, more administrative time, which we can charge the property owner, finding an administrative judge, involve the city clerk. It's like a little mini court system, so to speak. The other option, another option is to turn it over to Dan, the city attorney, and Dan can talk about that, but take it directly to court and get a judgment against the property owner. So kind of where we're at is that we're going through all of these steps, and this is the second year in a row now that this person, where we've had to do an administrative abatement, and just going by history, we're probably going to end up doing that again for this particular piece of property. So kind of where I'm at is that it seems like why are we, well, that's not a good way of stating it, because we have to do it in this particular case because of the fire danger. But I just wanted you to know that if you subtract out the citations, the city has about $750 invested in taking care of his problems. Yeah. And it was the same the year before. And most likely it's going to be the same this year. So this is kind of where we're at with the code enforcement dollar, is recouping our costs is you know, for you to think about this, and maybe at some point we can get some direction. So there's three options here, or maybe there's more, but so maybe it would just be better if we send it to a collection agency, and we can, maybe the collection agency can get some money from him. Or if you want to put a lien on it or a judgment, you know, then maybe it's going to require the city attorney, and that might be a better way of getting our money back than a collection agency. So we're just kind of here as a discussion, informational thing to kind of figure out how we want to proceed with this. Most people do correct them, but there are other properties that have similar type situations where I send them the notes and order, and then I send them citations, and then it's like, well, why are we spending all of this administrative time and cost to go through this when we don't do anything?
Yeah.
And if we did this enough, word would get around that they're not going to ignore our notice and orders and citations anymore. And once people start learning that, then we will have, and maybe the most important thing, we will have more teeth in our code enforcement here in the city.
Yeah, okay, I agree.
So that's kind of where we're at. You know, we're not necessarily looking for any decisions tonight. I just wanted you to know that this is where we're at with code enforcement, and we kind of need to know how we want to go about recouping our costs and sending a message to these people that you know, you need to take care of your public nuisances.
Well, you could advise us as to what the best way to do it, you know, the attorney can advise us.
Yeah, I like, certainly you can recoup my fees too, if I was involved. I think council needs to look at code enforcement. Ray and I, Pam, we've talked about a couple of issues. There's another issue, of course, with Valmart. I mean, that's something we have to go.
Yeah, that's a mess.
That's something that I have to file on Valmart. Now, this fellow, maybe I could drop him a letter and see, I can try to explain to him how serious it will be if I cranked it up on him and, you know.
Okay.
I don't know, this year is going to be worse because of the rain.
Yeah, I mean, the weeds are.
I know, the weeds in my lawn are.
Does he live out of state?
I can't even see them or view them.
There's, I tried to block out the address, but if you look at the pictures.
No, I mean the owner.
The owner, no, he lives. Yeah, I think he lives in Reedy.
Mayor and council, and city attorney, our city engineer has talked to Ray about this when our staff meeting that. For a city that he worked with, has worked in the past before, that they used to do, they had like a weed abatement,
assessment district.
An assessment district.
Incurvement.
Oh, incurvement.
And so the whole city. So then they knew, like the way Ray knows every vacant lot and all the property owners that we always have to challenge with, because we work with the fire department, and they'll tell us, okay, we need to, because these guys haven't done it, like we'll go disc properties, especially when it's a, you know, the ones that are behind a whole subdivision, like we're behind your place.
Yeah.
We've gone in there, we've just at least the first 25 feet.
Yeah.
So at least it'll give a buffer between the homes, so those homes don't get burned. And we just take our tractor out there and we just disc it.
Mm-hmm.
We do the same thing on the Hoffman property. But if that's something we can maybe consider looking at as a.
Yeah.
And I think the assessment district, that may mean that we don't have to go through this public hearing process, maybe?
That means there'd be money there to.
Yeah, so we wouldn't have to go through that process.
You know, we'd have to see what the remedy is, you know.
Well, I think the way you said it is that every year, so the letter will go out, give you a courtesy notice. Mayor Lopez, you got to mow your, you know, get your stuff down. If you don't get it done by a certain time, the city would do it, and then they would just put it in the tax roll.
Oh, okay.
As an assessment to the tax.
So that's how they agree that everyone be assessed,
so then it would get. So then if the city did it, then the, like Ray, when they track the time.
That's the same thing as getting.
So then you roll it into the tax roll.
So we could look at that and figure out how much, and that might be the best way to go, and then everyone would know once we, you know, but.
Yeah.
People would have to vote on that. You see, Prop 218 would require a 2/3 vote. So we may not be able to get that.
Okay, great.
Well, we'll just have to see.
Okay, so you got to vote on that type of assessment district.
Yeah.
Maybe long term, that might be an issue.
Well, you say that thing, you would say, well, if you take care of your property, it's not going to affect you.
Yeah.
How do you sell this district? If you're a property owner who takes care of your weeds, this is not going to affect you because it only works against people who we have to abate against.
Yeah.
And you do that time, maybe you spend a little more to get that in place, but once it's in place,
we're
it's
set.
In place.
Exactly.
Okay.
It must work well for Kerman. You should call the Kerman guy.
Make a motion.
That was the informational item for Ray.
Information.
Okay. All right.
Building.
Thank you.
Item,
thank you, Ray.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, great job.
That wasn't the number 9? He was talking about?
No. That was all number 8.
That was all number 8.
Yeah.
I got one. Oh,
sorry. So the next
item is mine. Talking about what's, you know, how do you create more revenue, or at least.
Okay, then we'll go to number 9?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, consideration, discussion regarding the introduction and first reading of Ordinance 381, amending Title 15, Chapter 15-04. Of the Orange Cove Municipal Code related to building and construction codes. Great.
Every 3-year cycle, California updates its California building codes and publishes them. The new codes, the new cycle of codes often contain new regulations, new codes, and revisions and that type of thing. Once the state adopts the 2016 building codes, building departments throughout the city are obligated to enforce those provisions. So the introduction and first reading of this is like a formal recognition that we are going to adopt the new code. And also, just as important, if this ordinance is adopted, it also becomes a part of our code enforcement ordinances. And many times, when a person, when a notice and order is sent out, depending on what type of public nuisance it is, I can cite code sections from these building codes. So I would recommend that, so I'm, I'm here to introduce the new ordinance for the first reading to amend the Orange Cove Municipal Code relating to building construction codes by title only and waiving the full reading.
Okay, council, we need a motion.
I make a motion to approve the introduction and first reading of Ordinance 381, amending Title 15, Chapter 15.04 of the Orange Cove Municipal Code relating to building and construction codes by title only, waiving full reading.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Anybody in the audience? Being none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Yes vote by Mayor Lopez, Pineda, and Garcia.
Thank you. Now we go to City Manager Report, subject consideration discussion regarding the Walter Entertainment Inc. Circus in the City of Orange Cove.
Mayor, just bringing to the council for consideration the approval of the circus being located on our Park and Railroad property for April 27th to May 1st.
Okay. Council, any questions to Mr. Escobar? I think it's great for the community that you get a circus coming in for the children. And they, you know, they all enjoy it, you know. So we need a motion then?
I make a motion to approve the application by Walter Entertainment for a circus in Orange Cove from April 27th to May 1st, 2017.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Being none. Anybody in the audience? Being none. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Yes vote by Mayor Lopez, Pineda, and Garcia.
Thank you. Now we'll go to subject consideration discussion regarding the Housing Successor Agency Annual Report, fiscal year 2015-2016. Mr. Escobar.
Mayor and Council, the City of Orange Cove is the Housing Successor Agency to the former Orange Cove Redevelopment Agency. When the former agency dissolved in February 2012, the city inherited its housing assets and functions. California Health and Safety Code Section 34176.1 requires the city prepare an annual report summarizing activities in the prior fiscal year related to the former agency housing assets. The report for fiscal year 2015-16 is attached. It is being presented to the City Council to receive and file. A copy has also been transmitted to the California Department of Housing and Community Development and posted on the city's website. When the former agency dissolved, the city took over administration of three loan receivables. Two of the loans issued to Michael Keesian for the Joe Sterner Farmworker Housing Project were paid off in 2012. The third loan to Citrus Gardens LP has outstanding principal balance of $275,000 and is due in 2029. That's the one that we just recently updated, extended, I think this last year. The Housing Assessment Agency had at minimal financial activity in fiscal year 2015-16 and earned $20 in interest income and had zero expenses. The city is in compliance with all legal requirements imposed by the state law. So the staff recommendation is to approve, to receive and file the Housing Successor Agency Annual Report for fiscal year 2015-16.
Council?
I make a motion to approve, to receive and file the Housing Successor Agency Annual Report for fiscal year 2015-2016.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Anybody in the audience? Being none. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Yes vote by Mayor Lopez, Pineda, and Garcia.
Okay, number 12 is BSP, Mobile Eye Clinic in the City of Orange Cove on May 12, 2017.
Mayor and Council, this is for your consideration and approval of the BSP Mobile Eye Clinic in Orange Cove and to park the mobile. They usually park it here on the at the park in front of City Hall. And it is requested by Ana Jovet Melendez, District Director of Office of Assemblymember Joaquin Arambula.
Any questions, Council? Okay, we need a motion approved.
I make a motion to approve the VSP Mobile Eye Clinic in Orange Cove and to park the mobile unit at City Hall parking lot requested by Ana Jovet Melendez, District Director, Office of Assemblymember Joaquin Arambula.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Anybody in the audience? Being none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Yes vote by Mayor Lopez, Pineda, and Garcia.
Okay, number 13 is subject consideration discussion regarding AB 1230 Small Business Development Center Act. Mr. Escobar.
Mayor and Council, this is a request by Fresno State Economic Development Team, the Rural Economic Development Team with Mike Dozier, Ismael Herrera. They're asking us to give them a letter of support, actually sending it to our legislative bodies through Assembly and then Senate to approve AB 1230, which will assist the small business development organization with continued funding so that they can continue working with small rural communities and our small businesses and continue to address the issues and challenges that they face. And also for the mayor to sign that letter.
Council?
I make a motion to approve a letter of support for AB 1230, Small Business Development Center Program Act, requested by Mike Dozier, Sector Director from Fresno State.
I second.
We have a motion, a second. Any further discussion? Anybody in the audience? Being none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Yes vote by Mayor Lopez, Pineda, and Garcia.
Thank you. Now we go to 14, Spring Cleanup, April 29th, 2017.
Yes, that's the date that we've come up with for spring cleanup. So it's the weekend before Cinco de Mayo, and it's a Saturday cleanup. And so we'll be putting posters up to the community. As the council is aware, we do two annual cleanups. Well, we do two biannual cleanups. And that's part of our enterprise agreement that we have with the Peñas Disposal.
That's great.
And of course, that's barring the weather, right?
Yes, if we don't get showers.
Yeah.
And if we do, I think that happened to us last year, and we changed to the following week.
The following week, yeah.
And that's great when the community gets rid of a lot of stuff. You know, that's good.
Yeah, and those events are always very successful.
Very good.
Take advantage of that.
Okay, that's information only. Okay, then we'll go to Mayor and City Council members. Subject consideration, discussion regarding the animal control. Mr. Escobar.
Mayor and Council, this item was brought to my attention by the mayor. I know we get a lot of concerns about from the public about dogs out in the community, and just wanted to clarify the role that we have as a city, and then also with the Focus volunteer group. They're nonprofit. The Focus Animal Shelter group is in charge of the animal shelter itself. And if the council recalls, that agreement that we gave them was that they have to receive every single dog that we take to them. So they can't tell us, no, we're too full, and you know, I've expressed that to staff about that. So currently we have staff that in the morning, they drive around the schools, specifically the schools, because that's where we have the kids. We have a lot of kids that walk to school, and so we have them drive around the schools for 2 hours, starting from 7:30 in the morning, and making sure there's no dogs. So we pick up dogs, and we have records of all the dogs that we pick up and we take to the animal shelter. And I was talking to the mayor about it. One of the things that we're considering is maybe making it from 2 hours to 4 hours to continue that process. But that doesn't really necessarily solve the challenge that we face in the community about dogs, because there's a lot of dogs that are stray dogs, and they're, you know, getting pregnant, and then they have more dogs, and it's a never-ending evolution of dogs here in the community. And so we're going to try to look and see if we can find grant programs, or even at the city, we'll bring it to the city, so we can do maybe twice a year to do spay and neuter, low-cost spay and neuter programs, because that's going to solve the issue. Mm-hmm. If we can get our residents to understand that that's how we solve it, so we don't have reproductions of the dogs, especially the stray dogs, that's going to help us solve the challenge.
Yeah, you know, I read in the paper where Sanger had a free clinic to do that.
We've had one so far that we've done that where it's been low cost.
Spay the dogs.
But even when they do that, they can only do like 10 at a time.
Oh, you know, really?
Just because it's all day, when they do the surgery process, and there's not a whole lot of people that can do that.
Yeah, because I think that the community really is upset with, I mean, there's dogs all over in front of the grocery store, and thank God that nobody gets bitten, you know?
Yeah.
I think that the city needs to do something, because we went along with the group that wanted to do it. We support them 100%. We never told them what to do or nothing. But the fact of it is that there's dogs all over the city.
Well, not only that, I heard that speaking of the group, is that they have some dogs out there, you know, that have been in the shelter for over a year.
Yeah, but that's their,
two,
that's
for
under,
one of the year.
Under the contract,
right? We were told by one of the staff members here.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah, under the contract, that's why it's their responsibility.
Yeah.
And they've had challenges because, you know, we only gave them a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
And that doesn't cover all the dogs that they have out there. But that's no longer a problem.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like...
Well, that was the whole point for
yeah,
them
that was
to
the whole
there.
Point. People would then be, you know, taken over because the dogs that were being taken, you know, to get euthanized, that was a big deal about for them.
Right.
But then they're not helping us in the where we need, you know...
And
the
that's,
dog picked
and,
up.
And that's the challenge.
And it's full.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's we're still taking the dogs.
Oh, okay.
So when you guys pick up the dogs, you keep track of the dogs that you pick up?
Yeah, we have two people that do animal control, and when they
mm-hmm.
pick them up, we have a booklet that they keep track of when the dog's taken to them.
Yeah, because I think we went backwards, you know. When we had our animal control officer, he did a great job. Yeah. But now you see them at the schools with the shoulder, they follow the
and that's when we get called and we go out there
yeah.
and pick them up.
You know? But anyway, hopefully we...
And that happens a lot too, Mayor and Council, is, you know, sometimes the dogs follow the kids to school, and then when we're chasing them down, they go straight home, and then we talk to the homeowner and say, you can't let your dog, you know, if it happens twice, then PD's informed, and then they go get a citation.
Have we had anybody bitten by a dog?
Yep.
Well, yeah.
Recently?
We have,
yeah, absolutely.
Oh, really? Wow.
And we had to do quarantines on those dogs.
Wow.
And the whole thing.
Okay. Well, whatever you can do to make it better.
Yeah, so I think the thing is to try to get the spay neuter program
yeah.
going, and then we'll just increase the amount of time.
Maybe that group knows how to go about it.
They do, and they've done it before, so
yeah.
That's what we have to figure out. If we can't get a grant,
okay.
What's the, it's not SPCA, it's still somebody else that does, but there's an organization that does a low cost.
Okay.
But I think, you know, I mean, if you're going to have a dog stay there, you know, be there for more than a year or 2 years,
that's
I mean, that defeats the purpose of even having something like that there, because
it's
shouldn't
what
be called shelter
too,
anymore.
It's more cruel.
It is. It's like, huh?
Yeah, that it's cruelty.
It's like
you know?
A doggy day.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, like.
Then how come they don't adopt them?
They try to, but some of them are pit bulls, mayor pit bull mixes, and they're big dogs, so, you know, and they work with, like, the pit bull bullies.
Yeah,
from
bully rescues,
wow.
And they try to get them out, but you know some of those are just, and their big thing is to get them acclimated and socialize them so that they are adoptable, right? So somebody come and rescue
yeah.
the dogs, but not all of them are being rescued.
But they're
now,
on
now
the
when they're here, now who takes them to Fresno?
For what?
Don't they take them to Fresno?
No.
Well, they keep them here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
unless
you, they're here for more than
the organization comes and picks up.
Right. Well,
yeah, unless,
have,
unless they're rescued first, you know, they get rescued.
So they don't want to send them over there, the group?
No.
No, the group just doesn't accept them.
Uh-huh.
No. Not to get put down.
Wow, shit. Okay.
That was their whole thing that their whole purpose of putting the group together is that
yeah.
they want
yeah.
it to be a no-kill shelter.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can stress to them, come on, guys. You do a good job.
I have, and they just, then they I'm the dog killer bear.
Yeah.
See, but we know what, they need to come before us. I think we need to set up where they need to come before the city council, and we need answers from them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to be at the council
yeah.
the next
okay.
Meeting.
Let's do that. In the meantime, could we go from 2 to 4 hours?
Yeah.
Maybe do a better job, especially in the schools.
Yeah, that's where our focus is.
Yeah. And I didn't know that the dogs had bitten somebody. I never heard of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would have.
And that's when the police gets involved.
I think it's great that the chief would let us know that so that we can get more serious about it if somebody gets bitten. Thank you. Okay, Council, the recommendations to go ahead and try to improve it a little bit. Alrighty. Consensus that we go ahead and direct staff to do what they can. Okay, now we go to public forum. Anybody in the audience wishes to address the City Council on items not already on the agenda, may do so now. Please come forward, state your name and address, proceed with your comments. Being none, We go to city manager's report.
Mayor and council, I actually have a written report, but I'm going to go back and clean it up because right now it's in short form where we understand, and this is really based on our staff meetings that we have every Tuesday, so the council understands where whatever department's working on. So tomorrow I'm going to get it cleaned up so that I can email it to everybody and I'll get a print of it. But just real quick, we got an email from Wendy Clement from Fresno Library that they're going to have a citizenship class for immigration that will be held at Orange Cove Library on April 18th at 10:30 a.m. And so we're going to try to get flyers or if they have any other information other than just the email so we can put it out to the community and then put it on Blackboard.
That's good. Very good.
So I'll just go through real quick. Engineering, we're working on water and sewer stuff. The item that we approved tonight for the wastewater plant, it was one of the items that was on the list to check off. So we can get approval from the state and get the $6 million and start the construction documents on the tertiary plant and then work through the application process for the loan for the wastewater plant. The water plant planning grant is in process right now. We've got the feasibility on the lining of the ponds and then buy an extra property to line the ponds. And then Alfonso Manrique is working on the rest of the feasibility, which is the plant expansion and also a pre-filtration system that we're going to be putting in the plant so we can submit that final to the state. And actually, it'll come to the council so we can, because the feasibility has also given us options on the water treatment plant expansion, so we'll have to decide what it is that we're doing. And the water operators are now are also putting together a laundry list of wish list of what they want repaired and what we want to add to the water plant to make our job easier. We are working with the school district right now. They requested comments on the proposed new elementary school. It probably will be built in 4 or 5 years from now, but this is how long the process takes for them to get approval from the state and then also find the necessary funding for it.
Yeah.
So we'll be meeting with them to go through the process of traffic controls there on that corner, and which is the corner of South and Munson,
yeah.
On the 15 acres there, is where they're that's the site they've selected, and they're working and negotiating with the property owner now.
Which Munson and what you said?
And South Avenue.
You know where the apartments?
Oh,
on South Avenue.
Yeah.
Where all
that
the big
corner
rigs?
Over there.
Oh wow.
Yeah, right
where
there.
All the big rigs are parked.
Yeah.
Yes. So all that's we'll have to change that.
Yeah.
Potentially when we do that, and then there's some sewer,
nice.
Sewer and water loops that need to get done, and then also road expansion. So
yeah.
We're going to be working with them on that portion of it.
Yeah.
Building department, Ray's giving you guys an update today. Public Works, they're working on, and when I say Public Works, we're talking about streets, parks, and buildings. Asbestos pipes that were removed from a project, we've been working on trying to get that removed, and then there's a process that Ray's helped out, and so has Joe, in wrapping the asbestos pipe, and then has to probably be properly disposed of because it's a hazard. So that's getting close to getting complete. We're working on getting bids for the EDA EDA plumbing job that needs to get done, so that we can have a number when we go and apply with Sally Tripp for potential community facilities grant. The fence at the EDA at the EDA center has been repaired. All the slats have been repaired. All the pointers have been repaired as well. And they painted the gate, but because of the weather, hasn't really helped allowed us to go out there and start the rest of it. So we have our gun. We have the actual paint that was used originally. So that'll get started hopefully this next week as well. We're looking at potentially getting another lawnmower to help us cover when we do the soccer field. Because the mowers that we have now, they're small and they're gonna get worn out pretty quick. And so we gotta get some that's a little bit wider in space. So it allows to mow that, the community center and all our parks, make it easier. And use a smaller red one to do all the corners and get that done. Animal control, we're trying to get two guys to get approved to use a tranquilizer gun, so it makes it easier to capture dogs instead of chasing them all around town. So we can just put them to sleep quickly and then load them into the truck. So that's a process that's being looked at right now. Let's see here. They've been battling weeds, you know, with this rain. It's off and on. You know, it rains and all of a sudden you get sun. I mean, those weeds are coming up. We did finally get our sprayer. So next week they're going to start utilizing it, the one that does the spot spray only.
Yeah.
So that's in, and that's getting set up and calibrated. So the next week you guys might be seeing that around town as they're spraying weeds. They'll be setting up for Easter tomorrow. Saturday's the event, so we're going to be setting up a lot of different things. We're going to set up 6 tents for the event because it's a partnership with the church, Orange Grove Christian Church, barricades and so forth. Then we'll have one staff member here Saturday to help set up the barricades and then delineation between the age groups and so forth.
What time is that going to start?
It starts at 10. If you guys want to be here like 9 or sooner, that'd be great.
To help set up?
Yeah.
What day is that?
Saturday.
Saturday.
And you have a thing in San Joaquin Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was asking.
Yeah.
That's the 15th?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. The mayor asked me to go to, I don't know, to speak over there, so he wanted me to go, so. I think it's 1 o'clock over there.
1 o'clock.
So I can
be
there when you open it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to see it.
Because it only takes like, literally.
Oh yeah, 1 second.
15 seconds, yeah. To get all the eggs.
1 second.
We're also going to be having, we've been doing a lot of cleanup work at the skate park, graffiti removal at the skate park. The coping around the pool was worked on today. It'll be finished tomorrow.
Good.
Tomorrow evening, we are having Layla and then a film crew come out to the skate park as they're gearing up to do a new tourism video for Fresno County, and they wanted to include the skate park in that tourism video. It'll be at 6:30 tomorrow night. So if anybody wants to be out there just to go see what they're doing, I'll be out there with them and just to see if they have any questions so I can give them like data and facts of our skate park and actually that whole regional park that we're working on out there.
Very good. Now the individual that's working for the city, is he out there?
What do you mean?
The guy that, we have a guy out there working for the city.
We were just supplying them water, and then just really just inspecting the work for the guys that.
No. The guy that we have out there working for us.
It's through Sarah.
Through Sarah, you're talking about.
Huh?
You're about the person that actually stays at the skate park.
Right, the one that we have
working
security.
Yeah,
is he there?
Yeah, the chief sees him on the camera.
Oh, he's there. All righty. I'm just wondering. The guy
and then we've also, you know, over this last week, we had a pretty windy storm that came through.
Yeah.
It knocked down a branch on this park. Fortunately, you know, we didn't have anybody at the park during that time because we had
yeah.
pretty bad weather.
Yeah.
But city staff has been trained to look at situations like this.
Yeah.
And so they're going to go now and assess all the other trees that we have in the park so we can start trimming them down. If you notice that tree's,
yeah.
I mean, we're going to cut it down.
Yeah.
All the way down because it had the bark beetle in it as well. And so we're going to go to Sheridan Park. This park, I think there's one more tree that Mr. Angulo has identified that potentially might be going down as well. And then we'll just replant different trees.
Yeah, the wind was really blowing. And those trees in front of my house, the school, boy, they were just blowing in the heck, man. Wow, dangerous.
At the water plant, there's been a lot of stuff that we've been doing out there. On Monday, we actually, the city saved money. We installed the flow meter for plant A, and it's something that hasn't been working in a long time, and we got a quote for the meter itself. It was about just under $5,000, so I signed off on that. And our water operator, along with Joe, our wastewater operator, and one of our street, Juan Rivera, they installed it. And we had gotten a quote for $8,000 to install that meter.
Yeah.
And so they installed it in 2 hours, and then all they had to do, the company had to come back and calibrate and connect it to SCADA.
Oh,
and so we saved a you know, pretty good amount of money. And now they're looking at recalibration of plant B flow meter. And so those meters, what it does, it tells us how much water is actually going out to the system from each plant.
Uh-huh.
So this will, with both of those working, we'll be able to tell where we're losing water, because now we'll know what, you know, the residents are using through our meter program. And so we'll be able to identify how much loss we'll have in our infrastructure. You're right, if there's a leak in our infrastructure, because we've done a project where we went and changed water mains, but we didn't do all the city, so there might still be some loss in that in our water system. Everything at the water plants is working fine right now. SCADA's working, Plant A and Plant B are working fine. As the mayor mentioned before, we get call-outs. We have the SCADA system that gives us call-outs when there's a warning. And all the warnings are preset to give you plenty of time to get up to the water plant and then make modifications before it goes back. Right, so when we do get that, we got high levels of turbidity. I think it was Saturday. And so our operator had to come back out and then change chemical dosages, because that's what we have to do to make sure it gets treated to the level that we need it. And everything's working the way it should be as of right now. And that's all I have.
Great.
Like I said, I'll go back and put this in easier language to understand, as this is shorthand language that June prepares.
Very good report, thank you. Okay, now we'll go to City Council Communications.
No, I don't have any. City Attorney?
Oh, the attorney?
You're right.
You put your hands, they left you out.
It's okay.
Oh, okay. Here it is.
All right.
Oh, City, okay. Okay, Nana, City Council.
Well, the only thing I have to report was that I attended the Orange Blossom Festival, you know, a couple weeks ago. Along with myself and Councilwoman Pineda, we were on the parade, and it was a very good event. It was very well attended, in fact. I thought there was a lot more people this year than last year. It really had a good turnout. I know that the vendors, I heard a couple of the vendors made really good profits. Mm-hmm. They did really well. You know, our church, we had we were selling snow cones. We did pretty good, you know, for just selling that. So it's a good event, you know, for the community to go out and the nonprofits to make some money for their organizations, and I think that's the most important thing. So it was very good, and looking forward to the other events in the city, you know, that's going to happen. So
it's great, you know, and I'd like to apologize for not being there, but I was real sick, I didn't get out of bed at all for 2 days. I got real sick. I don't know what the heck happened to me, but I was really sick. But I know my family went. And in fact, my sister-in-law was there, and she died 2 days later. And she was all excited, happy. She was very happy. She was here with all her family. Yeah. And 2 days later, she passed. Yeah, my brother's wife, Juventina Lopez. Okay,
I also attended the Blossom Parade Festival. I think there was more people this year, like you said, yeah.
Yeah,
Or maybe it was just condensed, but it was nice to see everybody out there having fun. I don't know how many entries there were, but we're in the front, so.
23.
Oh, that's good. Very nice.
And that's pretty much it.
Okay. All right. My report, I got invited to Madeira. There was a big gathering, about 2,000 farm workers, and they asked me to speak on immigration, and I really enjoyed it. I marched for about an hour and a half with the UFW, with the leaders, and you know, it's been a long time since I've ever been involved with them, but I was honored that they called me and asked me if I could please go, so I was really honored to be there, and it was real peaceful. The people were giving us water as we were walking. People were coming out with cold water, and no incident at all. The police department, they monitored the whole situation in Madeira. So I was really honored to speak on immigration, because I'm a strong supporter for immigration reform. We need to do that. Okay. This Thursday, I'm going to be on Channel 26 with Buddy Mendez and the other supervisors, Terreri and Fresno Madeira. We're going to be on a forum on immigration on Channel 26, and they asked me if I could speak. But I said I'd be more than honored to be there. I'm going to attend the meeting on the Joint Powers Agreement on the water issue. We're going to have a meeting in Fresno at 9 a.m. Okay, and then we're going to be going to visit Senator Feinstein on the 16th, 17th?
On the 17th.
Yeah, 17th. We're going to leave on the 16th, and then we're going to meet with Senator Feinstein. We have a meeting with her. We just want to update her on where we're at and make sure that she's well informed, because she's real supportive of 10 plus flats. And that's the whole thrust of this meeting with Senator Feinstein. It's going to be me and Buddy Mendez, Marisa Montoya, and the supervisor from Tulare County, Whiskey. We already have an appointment with her. Okay, I was honored, and I brought it with me. I don't know if Sam showed it, but we went to the ceremony at the high school, and he presented me with a ring, championship ring. I was not expecting it. The school gave me this championship ring. I'm quite honored. I have the one on the football. I have that put away. My kids are going to end up with this. One of my kids, you know, is going to end up with this. But I was honored at the ceremony. The girls were very, very happy. The city made a contribution for the rings to the high school, you know. But I told them that they honor us. They're champions, and boy, the girls. And they're all doing great in their school grades. They're all top in their grades. So I was really honored to be invited by the high school. I'm going to be speaking to Buddy Mendez tomorrow concerning a letter that the boundaries for the new shopping center, they cross over to the Fresno County on Sumner.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask him to give us a letter saying that he's okay with it. I already called the secretary. I have a letter to give to him, and he's very supportive. He told me that whatever I needed, he would support us. So... So that's it. And I addressed a lady in the function that I did because she was on TV and she bit-mouthed my staff, bit-mouthed me, that we didn't care, that it was a mess. She was on TV. So I came at 7:30 and did an interview right here in front of City Hall to make sure that the community, because she was really talking bad about the staff, me, the council, and everything. And I think it's rude. It's rude to do that. Misinformation galore. And people see that, and this is what they say, wow, it's true, it's no good. So the lady's being disrespectful, and I want to be the same way she is. If she wants to treat me that way in my council, in my city, I think that she shouldn't be talking like that. She has any concern? Come over here. I'd be willing to meet with her or anybody to come here to City Hall and meet with us. Let's talk about it. What is it you want us to do? Okay? So anyways, so I want to thank everybody for really doing the hard work that you're doing, and I really appreciate everybody's labor and job. Thank you. Any further business?
Just to advise the council, we are off Friday. The city is closed.
Okay.
Friday.
Alrighty, so no further business? We adjourn.